The third word of the cross, which Jesus spoke, is recorded for us in the book of John, chapter 19, verses 26 to 27. So the soldiers did these things, but standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Cleopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Dear brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the third word of the cross which Jesus spoke on that Good Friday was a word to his mother and to his beloved disciple John, the author of the Gospel of John and the epistles, 1st, 2nd, and 3rd John, and the book of Revelation. John was a very close disciple. He was the closest of the 12 disciples to Jesus. He is identified as the one whom Jesus loved. Here in the third word of the cross, we see a development. The first word was to the enemies who had crucified him. The second word was to the man next to him who cried for forgiveness and to be remembered. And now the third comes to his own mother. This is the last word that Jesus spoke to men, to human beings, before in his state of humiliation. The last word was to his mother. The next four words, he speaks to his father. And Jesus is concerned about his earthly mother. He remembers the fifth commandment, which says, "Honor your father and your mother, for this is the first commandment with a promise." He had given the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments were given by God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Jesus was one of them that gave that commandment. And the law was written upon his heart. And that law was obeyed by Jesus. Jesus came not only to pay for our sins, but he came to obey the law of God in every detail, every jot and every tittle. He came to do the will of God, and that included obedience to the fifth commandment, honor your father and your mother. In this fifth commandment, in this third word, which deals with his obedience to the fifth commandment, we see Jesus speaking as prophet and as priest and as king. As prophet, Jesus does something that has been begun in his earthly ministry with regard to his mother. There was a separation. At the very beginning of his earthly life, he was born of Mary. Mary had received that blessed visit of the angel, in which she was informed that she was to be the mother of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Mary was filled with wonder, amazement. She was troubled. She didn't understand what it was. And then the angel explained to her that the Holy Spirit would come upon her, that the power of the Most High God would overshadow her, so that the holy thing that was born of her would be the Son of God. And she was told to go to Elizabeth, her relative, because a miraculous event took place in her. And so she goes to Elizabeth, and Elizabeth says, "The moment your greeting came to me, my baby leaped in my womb." And then Mary sang her first song, called the Magnificat, in which she says, "My soul doth magnify the Lord my Maker, and I praise my God, my Savior." She recognized her need of a Savior right then. And here at the cross, Jesus is telling her that he is her Savior, that she is not any longer to look at herself as his mother. That relationship is going to be replaced. And that distance between Jesus and Mary, which was so close, was beginning to separate even at the age of 12. When Jesus said to her, when she and Joseph came back, so I'm wondering where he was, he said, "Wist ye not that I must be about my Father's business?" And then you recall the first miracle of our Lord Jesus in the Cana of Galilee, when Mary came to him and said, "They have no more wine." And he said to her, "Mother, what have I to do with you? My hour does not yet come. Woman, what have I to do with you?" You see, there is a movement away from Jesus and Mary throughout his earthly ministry. In none of the four Gospels do you ever read of Jesus calling Mary mother. He never addresses her as mother. And then in the 12th chapter of Matthew, Jesus is informed that his mother and brothers and sisters are there. And Jesus said, "Who are my mother and my brothers and sisters?" And he looks over the whole audience and he said, "Behold my mother, my brother, and my sisters." So there is a division, there is a separation of Jesus from his earthly mother. He loves her, but he doesn't want her to look at him as her son, but as her Savior. And so he says, "Woman." He is speaking as a prophet here. And he is saying, "I am no longer your earthly son. I am your son. I receive my human nature from you. My flesh and blood came through you. And I was qualified to be the Savior of the world because of your giving me flesh and blood. But I am much more than that. I am also Almighty God, and I am your Savior. And so you must look at me as your Savior, as your Lord, and not simply as your son." So as a prophet, he is teaching Mary that he is her Lord and Savior. But he also speaks as a priest. And he says to Mary, "Behold your son." Now that word son means John, the apostle, the disciple who's standing next to her. John hadn't been there all the time. Because, as you recall, in the Garden of Gethsemane, they all fled. John did too. John did come back into the court, and he saw what was going on, and he followed Jesus up to the Mount Calvary. And so now he is standing next to Mary and next to his own mother, because we read standing by the cross were his mother and his mother's sister. Now his mother's sister's name was Salome, or Salome. And she was the wife of Zebedee. And she had two sons that we know of, James and John. She is a sister to Mary. And so John the Apostle, her son, is a nephew of Jesus, the sister of her mother. And so Jesus says to Mary, "Behold your son." That is Jesus' cousin. John is Jesus' cousin, the son of his mother's sister. And he gives Mary into the care of her nephew, John the Apostle. Why John? Why John? Weren't there other family members that were closer to Mary than her nephew? Maybe another son. We know that the author of the book of James was a son, was a brother of Jesus. But John is chosen for very specific reasons. John was the closest to his Savior. John was the one who sat right next to him at the Last Supper, leaning upon his breast. John was the one who was taken to the Mount of Transfiguration. John was the one who was the closest to his master, Jesus. He loved him. He knew what love was. He wrote in his first gospel, or in the Gospel of John, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." John knew Jesus intimately, probably more intimately than any of the other disciples or apostles. That's one reason why Jesus gave Mary into the care of John. Another reason is this: John could explain to Mary what the cross meant. Because you recall how Simeon said to Mary and Joseph in Luke chapter 2, when they brought the baby to the temple, Simeon said, "A sword will pierce through your soul." Right now she is experiencing that. And Jesus is giving John the duty, the privilege, the opportunity to explain what that means, that a cross will pierce through her soul, and that the cross of Jesus, the sword will pierce through her soul, and that cross meant our salvation, that his blood was shed that we be saved from our sins. So he is giving Mary into the care of John. And not only that, John, we read in this gospel, took her to his own home. And so Mary and John walked together to his home. John is also aware that Jesus said, "The third day I'm going to rise again." And he and Peter hear from Mary Magdalene that the tomb was open. And so they run to the tomb. John outruns Peter and gets there first and looks into the tomb. And then Peter runs into the tomb and looks. And then John looks and believes. And then you read that Peter and John went to their own homes. Who was at John's home? Mary was. Mary was there. Because right here it says, "And he took her from that hour to his own home." And so he explains to Mary what he has just discovered, that he is not here, he is risen. And so Mary gets the whole story right from an eyewitness of one who saw that open tomb. And so John conveys to her the glorious gospel of a risen Christ, that Jesus, who was born of her, gave his life on Calvary's cross as her Savior and her Lord, and is now risen from the dead. Another reason why God gave Mary into the hand of John is that on the day of Pentecost, all of the disciples, the 11, were in the upper room with others. Do you know who they were? One was Mary, the mother of Jesus. You find that in Acts chapter 1, verse 14. All of these with one accord were devoting themselves to prayer, together with Mary, the mother of Jesus, and his brothers. There they were. And they all received the gift of the Holy Spirit. And on Acts 2, they were all filled with the Spirit and began to speak the word of God. Mary was there too, because John brought her there. So she was given a marvelous blessing because of the one to whom Jesus had committed her, his substitute. John was Jesus' substitute to take care of his mother. And then this is also his kingship. Because when Jesus says woman, he is separating himself not only from her as her son, but he is separating himself from the ancestry. And he is saying, I am not only the Savior of the Jewish race. He said in John 12, when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. So the general word woman implies that he is going to be the Savior of the whole world. When I am lifted up, I will draw all men unto myself. So as king, he receives this word on the day he ascended. All authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. Go ye therefore into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. As prophet, priest, and king, Jesus speaks that third word to his mother. Woman, behold your son. And then to John, the beloved disciple, behold your mother. And from that moment, he took her to his own home, where she really got the full gospel. Amen. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for the beautiful story of Jesus, that he gave his life a full atonement for all of our sins, and that he died the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God, and that we are not our own, but we belong to him. O Lord, may every child, every grown child, recognize the importance of the fifth commandment to honor and respect and love their father and their mother and the Lord, for this is right. And so bless us this day as we continue meditating on the cross of our Savior. In his name we pray, amen.
The third word has come to us through the ministry of Reverend Tom Vandenheuvel, Minister of Visitation here at Seventh Reformed Church. Woman, behold your son, behold your mother.